wonderful. And so that was the scripture reading that I was going to do today. And Paul says, I'm going to tell you these things. I'm going to remind you of these things, even though you know them. And so we're going to do it again. There is not, what a great, in the Gospel of Luke. And so what I'm going to do is that we're going to be Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. What we're going to do is that I'm going to read the first verse, and then you can read the alternate second verse, whether it be in English or in Chinese. And let's stand as we read the Word of God. I love God's Word. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our paths. So I'm going to read the first verse, and then you can read the second verse. And in Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered.
When this section was made by Caesar Augustus,
so all went out to be registered, everyone to his own city.
And Joshua was went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because it was his.
To be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child.
And so it was that while they were there, these days were accomplished as she should be delivered.
And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And we'll stop it at verse 18, by the way. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. For there is born to you this day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has been made known to us. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. Let's pray. Father, we just humbly come before your throne of grace. We rejoice for that day that was born to you, us, this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And we proclaim him Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Bless this time, pour out your Spirit upon me, Lord. Give me a gift of teaching, that I would bring forth God's Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. That all who would hear would be blessed, and those who don't know you would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We love you, Jesus. We proclaim you today. In Jesus' name we pray, as we pray for the rapture of the church and for the peace of Jerusalem. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. It is a great joy to be here each time. And we welcome those who are new and our dear friends and family of Virtue Grace. And their parents. and her parents. And the others that are here to be dedicated later on this morning. It is great joy each time I come here. I see so many friends, and this church has been so special and such a blessing to me and my family over many years. and the love of Jesus Christ proclaimed the Word of God in this church. And what a joy it is to hear the singing in English and Chinese of joy to the world. Joy to the world. For Jesus Christ has come. And today we're going to, I've been praying, this was really a spiritual battle for me, of what I would talk about. On the bulletin it says, how close are we? And I was going to break it down into two particular parts. Prior to the time of the birth of Jesus Christ, they were looking for the foretold one. In Micah 5, 2, it talked about someone who would be born from in Bethlehem from everlasting. In Romans 1, it talked about the prophecies that foretold the coming of the Messiah. And there was great anticipation looking for that baby that would be born in Bethlehem. And so there is, how close are we would be the question. When is this baby going to be born? And so I wanted to talk about the baby that was born 2,000 years ago. But the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the second part, who would be coming back to this earth. And the coming of Christ is divided into two things. The first coming of Jesus Christ, the first coming of the Savior, who would die on the cross for our sins, shed his precious blood upon a cross for you and for me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But the story does not end at the birth of Jesus Christ. The Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, tells of a story of the second coming of Jesus Christ. So the second part of the message will be the ending of the story. The coming of Jesus Christ. And so, two points. But as we look at the world today, we see that the attack upon Jesus Christ and Christmas is increasing day by day. My daughter and I, we went to a senior citizen's home in Irvine. And basically we're told we could not sing Christmas carols about Jesus Christ. We couldn't share the gospel of Christ in this great land of America. A national holiday called Christmas. And so as it would have it, my daughter was singing a song, the head of the senior citizens' home comes over and then the other guy who was leading the worship said, you have to stop. You cannot sing about Jesus Christ. You can sing Jingle Bells. You can talk about or sing about Santa Claus, which, to be honest with you, is an abomination before God. It's wrong. He knows if you've been sleeping, knows if you've been bad or good. Those are the attributes of God, of Jesus Christ. No man knows those things, except the God in heaven, who came to this earth to die for our sins and was bodily raised from the dead. And so they took this man and another man aside, and here I was by a microphone. I said, well, Lord, I guess you want me to share the gospel. And so we're at the senior citizens' home, and I started to share the gospel. That there is one God, eternally existent in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. These three are one. That we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That we need to repent of our sins and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, my daughter would tell me that the woman over there was having a fit as she was talking to these two men, and I'm sharing the gospel. And I shared that Jesus loved them and died on the cross for their sins, was buried, and was bodily raised from the dead 3 days later, and by faith in him alone, you can have eternal life. Well, she, at that point, she came and said, you have to stop. But we gave the gospel. And when I look around the world, the secularization of this world in France, where everything, you can't really talk about Christ. You have such an attack upon the Word of God in Jesus Christ. My heart weeps. My heart aches. The Bible says our spirit grieves within us as we see the attack upon Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Sometimes there is attack even from Christians, well-meaning Christians. Even the pilgrims and the Puritans did not want to celebrate Christmas. And that's sad. The atheists and those who do not believe in the birth of a Savior that day in Bethlehem, many people do not want to talk about the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, history will tell us of the origins of Christmas, that it comes from Rome and it comes from various pagan practices. But I, as a Christian, rejoice any day that I can celebrate the birth of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I was reading on the internet about, even in China and Russia, which was a communist, and I was a missionary there for 6.5 years, that people are talking about Jesus Christ. I remember in Philippians chapter 1, if we can turn there for a second, verse 18. And Paul said, writing to the Philippians, said, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is preached, and this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. I am thankful that we are able to share about Jesus Christ. I think it gives us as Christians an opportunity to share his love and the purpose of his coming. And so I encourage you to say Merry Christmas to anyone you meet during this time of the celebration of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, there are wonderful, as I said, wonderful Christians who may not agree. But I'm called to the book of Romans in chapter 14, if you could turn there, please. In the book of Romans, Paul addresses those who are weak in the faith and don't dispute about doubtful things. And he says in verse 4, who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes a day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats to the Lord, where he gives thanks, and he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives thanks to God. For I and my family, I choose to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. We're fairly certain he wasn't born on December 25th. But the world is talking about it. The baby that was born in Bethlehem. And when I read in Luke, and going back to chapter 2, I love this, and it says in verse 17, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. That is your purpose and my purpose, is to go out into this world to share the love and the hope that comes from the personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Those who were in the field, the shepherds, understood what they were to do. For it says, "For there is," in verse 11, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." We as Christians who've been washed by the blood of Christ, born again by the Spirit of the living God, must go out and use the time that God has allowed us and this special day of Christmas to proclaim the truth about Jesus Christ. Who He is, what He has done. And so, though there are... Now, each person must do what is in their own conscience. If those who want to celebrate Christmas, praise the Lord. If those who do not want to celebrate Christmas, praise the Lord. They do it up to their own conscience. What is right according to their reading of the Scriptures. But again, for me and my family, we're going to share the love of Jesus Christ and the hope in the first coming of Jesus Christ upon this earth. A child born this day, a Savior. Now, the interesting part about this is that as you look at the world, how is Jesus Christ depicted, shown to the world? He is shown as a little baby, and Mary is given great preeminence in many cases. But Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and He is to be proclaimed. Let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Many people believe that, have a false notion of the way Jesus Christ is. Well, John had the honor of seeing Jesus Christ. And in Revelation chapter 1, in verse 10, it says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in the book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. Having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun, shining in its strength. And when I saw him," John said, "I fell at his feet as dead." "But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and I am the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this." This is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in all His glory, as John beheld Him after the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Not a little baby in the hands and the arms of Mary, but the Almighty God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And John fell at His feet as if He was dead, realizing the glory and the majesty of God Almighty before them. We need to, as Christians, realize who our Lord is. How great a God we serve. how loving of God He is. He gave Him the glory and the praise and honor and worship He so richly deserves. And so John fell at His feet. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. How about us as Christians today, as we remember Christmas? When I think of Christmas and what it means to me, I remember the cross of Jesus Christ and what He endured on the cross for my sins and your sins. For God laid on Him the iniquities of us all. That's what I remember when I remember Christmas. What Christ has done for me, for you, for this world. For God gave His Son, sent His Son to die in our place for our sins, so that we can have eternal life by faith in His Son. That is the message of Christmas. Who Christ is and what He's done, and the hope of eternal salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. So I rejoice. We as Christians should rejoice every day for what Jesus Christ has done. The world has given us this day. Let us use it for the glory of Jesus Christ. Let us boldly proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So every chance I get, I wish them a Merry Christmas. Some scowl, some are silent, but there are few who are encouraged when they hear the name of Christ. There are few who want to say, but sometimes are timid to utter the words, Merry Christmas. Sad world in which we live. But there's a hope that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and God's only begotten Son. So that is the story of Christmas, part of it. But He is the Savior. And it's interesting in Luke chapter 2, and I love this. I love this. It's in Luke chapter 2. It says, "For there is born to you." You need to know that He was born to you. That He loves you. Jesus says, "As many as come to Me, I will by no means cast him out." Jesus' hand extends. That's what we see is back in Revelation chapter 1. As John laid at the feet of Jesus Christ. Here we see a loving God reaching out to John to comfort him, to love him, to know that Jesus cares for him. God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father. There is a loving God in heaven that we need to share to a dying world. We need to share the hope that is in Jesus Christ. We need to share His love and the true gospel during this time of Christmas. And I every single time I read what Jesus, the way He is, they are words of comfort to those that are in Christ. I'm comforted. Do not be afraid. I remember in John chapter 14, as they were afraid that Jesus was going to go away, and what would happen to them? And Jesus' words of comfort is, in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me." There are difficult times in this world today. People are hurting. People are sick. People are without a job. But Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Those are words of comfort for those that are in Jesus Christ. Jesus loves you. He cares for you. He knows every hair upon your head. And he showed that love by dying on the cross for you and for me. And said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now that's a wonderful promise by Jesus Christ to each one of us. I go and prepare a place for you. He's gone and prepared a place for me. I'm humbled by what God's plans for those that are in Christ. And so, don't let your heart be troubled. And this leads us to our second part of the message. The first part is that Jesus Christ, God Almighty, would be born in the city of David, Bethlehem. A Savior. But it also talks about that he is going to come for his church. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The second part of the wonderful story of Jesus Christ is that he is coming again. Now, I believe it's like a two-part coming, one for his church. And then God says in the word, he will come with 10,000s of his saints with his church upon this earth. That would be by many people to call the rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For if we believe that, in verse 13, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. God does not want you to be ignorant of the things of the Lord. He's given you his word. Jesus said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth, and his truth will set you free. The word of God. And so we go back to the word. They searched the scriptures daily to see whether or not these things were so. So God said, I don't want you to be ignorant of this next event. He said, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Sleep in Jesus would mean who dies in Jesus. Even so God will bring with him. Okay, verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. I will receive them unto myself. John 14, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. The word of God is comfort to those that are in Christ. I know where I am going. If God would take me home this very minute, I know absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I have a living hope in Jesus Christ. I know where I'm going because I put my faith in Jesus Christ. He paid the full penalty for my sin. And I received him, accepted him, and trusted in him as my Lord and Savior, realizing he paid the full penalty for my sin, for your sin, and the sins of this world. Those are comforting words for those that are in Jesus Christ. So I know where I'm going. The rapture of the church. Now, I want to encourage you during these difficult times to know that one day, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will be with Him for all eternity. That's God's promise, according to His Word. What are you going to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ? As we look around the world today, Christians are mocked, are made fun of. You're too narrow. You're intolerant to say that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's only one way to salvation, one way to the Father, and that's through the cross of Jesus Christ and faith in Him alone. That's the gospel. Receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you will have a guarantee of eternal life by faith in the Son. But look around the world and see what you see. We are being mocked because we share that Jesus Christ is the only way. The United Nations is trying to pass where you cannot proselytize or share your faith with other people. I shared from this pulpit before. You're not allowed to say that Jesus Christ is the only way. That's too narrow. That's hateful. If you look in and go through the website, you will see that this is prevalent right now. You cannot go and say that Islam is not correct. Oh, I'm sorry. That's hateful. That's not right. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through the cross of Jesus Christ. Mormons believe that Jesus, that you will become God. That's not Christianity. That's not the Word of God. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus Christ is Michael, the archangel. Jesus Christ is God who came in the flesh, died among us, was bodily raised from the dead. He is God. And we need to know and understand the gospel in order to share it to others. And when I listen to Christians, well, why are you going to heaven? Well, I've been a good person. I'm going to heaven because I committed my life to Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I believe that there is one God, eternally existent in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. These three are one. I acknowledge that. I believe that Jesus Christ is God, Son, God Almighty, who came to this earth. I believe I'm a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Bible says that Jesus Christ died in the place for my sins. He shed His blood upon the cross for my sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. I accepted that. I believe that Jesus was buried 3 days and three nights. And a third day, He was bodily raised from the dead. The bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ is essential for your being a Christian. That Jesus is God. Jesus said, if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Jesus Christ is God. You need to believe that in order to be saved. You need to believe in the death, the burial, and the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You need to believe you're a sinner and you want to repent of your sins and turn to Jesus Christ. Turn from your sinful ways. And the blood of Christ washes away your sins. I never get tired of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is foolishness to those who are perishing, Paul said, but to those who are being saved, it is power of God unto salvation. I love the story of Christ. I love the story of the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the birth of Christ. That's what I share during Christmas. as God opens up the door. And I encourage you to do the same. It is important. And the other thing is, you are saved by faith alone. By grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I put my faith in Christ. By faith I am saved. By grace you have been saved through faith. It's a gift, a free gift. You need to receive the gift. Now I know most of you in this church know that. But there are some people here that maybe have never truly committed their lives to Jesus Christ. Never took that step of faith. Never truly understood what they believed. It's faith with understanding. I committed my life to Christ. I understood in who I was committing my life to. I knew He was Lord and Savior. I was willing to accept that. So as we close at this particular point, because we have a dedication later, God wants to give those who have never committed their lives to Christ or want to rededicate their lives to Christ an opportunity to proclaim that He is your Lord and Savior. Jesus said, if you confess me before man, I will confess you before my Father and His angels in heaven. If you deny me before man, I will deny you before my Father and His angels in heaven. The Bible says this is the day of your salvation. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. This is the date of your salvation. And so I want to give this as we close now to give an opportunity to those who have never really committed their lives to Christ or aren't sure or want to rededicate. I would ask you please to bow your heads before the Lord. And those people who would like to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, God wants to forgive your sins because He loves you. His desire is none to perish, but all to come to repentance, all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. What a joy it is to comfort one another with these words. So I would ask those, again, don't be shy. Jesus openly died upon the cross. We are Christians openly proclaim that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I would ask those who want to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior to repeat with me in English or Chinese to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and all your sins that you've ever had, which Jesus took upon the cross, will be forgiven. God is a God of forgiveness and love. God is love. So I'd ask you to repeat with me to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Please forgive my sins. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in my heart God raised Him from the dead. I commit my life to Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus Christ is my Savior. I ask Jesus into my heart today. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. By God's word, if you pray that prayer with your heart, every sin that you ever have is gone. By God's word. and that you would know that you will be in heaven for all eternity. When the rapture of the church comes, when he comes, you will be taken up to be the Lord in the air. May you be comforted by his word. God has forgiven you because he loves you. So great a love that God has for each one of us. I want to end in prayer for those who have received Christ and pray for this wonderful body and family of Christ here. And the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is among us. The moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, comes inside of you. And then the Holy Spirit will come upon you to give you the power that God has called you to do whatever that is to do. So I just want to pray for this wonderful group. And Father, we just humbly come before your throne of grace. What a joy it is that there are people who have come to Christ today. What a joy it is to know that this, Lord, that you love us. I pray, Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit upon me, on us this day. That when we walk by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we read God's Word, that we would just draw closer to you. And your promise is if we draw closer to God, he will draw closer to us. Oh Lord, how much we love you. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for that you gave and sent your Son. And so we celebrate each day. And also I, on December 25th, I do celebrate and give an opportunity to share your love, your hope. Thank you, dear Jesus. Thank you. We love you so much. And we give you the glory for what you do. And we do pray for the rapture of the church, peace of Jerusalem. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
May God bless you. And I don't know if Bob or Ian or whoever is coming. I don't know what the ones. Oh, my turn. God bless you. Thank you so much. Jesus loves you, and so do we. And Merry Christmas to you. Thank you. Thank you.